Hey everybody, what is up and welcome back to our podcast Select Start. This is our second episode in week two of our weekly episodes. We've got some great topics today for you guys. Gonna be going over some new Pokemon, some Arcane, and now that it's finally over, some WB Smash game, and some Halo Infinite, and whatever else comes up. And again, I am one of your hosts, Caleb, a Caleb, whatever you want to call me. And you guys want to introduce yourselves if new listeners don't know who you are?
Yeah. What's up, everybody? My name is Gavin, aka Gilded Age. I kind of talk about a little bit of about everything, so. And with us as well as our third co-host.
What's going on, everybody? My name's Russell. I'm known by a couple of different names, but I mean, I have a few different gamer tags. I play a couple of different games, but I am the guy who most likely, like, you'll hear talk about fighting games and Rocket League, because that is all I put my time into. but I am super excited for today's episode, honestly.
Yes. So to touch on the first topic, Pokemon, Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. I don't know if any of you boys have played it, but I've been playing it. I love it. The graphics are amazing. It's super nostalgic, and I love what they're doing with the legendaries now.
Honestly, I don't think I've played. What was the last Pokemon I actually played? I don't even know. I think I played, what was the one before these ones?
Sword and Shield.
I think I played a little bit of Sword and Shield. I don't remember which one.
Have definitely played more games than I have.
I've played it for like maybe an hour tops, and I got bored.
That's fair. It's definitely not a game for everyone.
I have played some of the... whatchamacallums on the PC where you do...
Oh, the emulators?
Yeah, where you do like the...
the ROMs. He's talking about the ROMs.
Yeah, where you... What are they called? The like challenges where you...
Oh, whatever, like Nuzlocke.
Nuzlocke challenges. There you go.
Like, a lot
of fun. On some of the fan-made games. Those were pretty fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen some of those. I did actually with Sword and Shield... I did a monotype run. I started doing those after I beat the game because I beat Sword and Shield like 3 times. And I did an ice type, which was surprisingly pretty easy beating the game with just ice. The one I had the most problem with was fairy type. That was so hard. It was so hard to beat it.
I mean, like, you also got to think they dropped fairy type, like, as an actual type, I think, wasn't it? Around like X and Y, or like slightly before that?
It was actually, funnily enough, after the original Diamond and Pearl, I believe, is when they actually added in more types, because it used to be the original Diamond and Pearl, I think the Pokemon Spirit Tomb used to be completely broken because it had no weaknesses, because there was no fairy or there was no steel type in the game, one of the two. So you had like grab a spirit tomb and you could sweep the whole game and never have to worry about like weaknesses or anything.
Yeah.
But
they added in a lot of stuff in this new one, what I was talking about is the legendaries, and I love the way they're doing it. So, there's like kind of like a safari, if y'all remember that. If y'all ever.
Hang on. If you play Pokemon, you don't remember the safari. Come on now.
Yeah, right. That's like one of the most iconic areas earlier games.
Yeah, so they have something like that for the legendaries. And each legendary has its own, they call them a slate, but all the slates are in cartridge, looks like cartridges, like Game Boy cartridge, if the legendary is from a Game Boy game.
I saw that.
Or,
I saw that image.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I love it. It's so nice to see that, because like you have Game Boy cartridges, DS ones. It's awesome. And I love that, like, you're not bound to just Palkia and Dialga. And then you also get a free Mew and Jirachi if you played Sword and Shield and Let's Go Eevee and Pikachu. And then you also get a free Manaphy egg if you pre-ordered the game. And you get some costumes and stuff for playing Sword and Shield and Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee as well.
Nice.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah, it's really nice. The game is bringing back a lot of nostalgia for me. I haven't beaten it yet. I don't have any shinies yet either. But I am going to be shiny hunting pretty soon. I'm probably going to beat the game and then shiny hunt, because I like to just breed when I shiny hunt, so. But yeah, Pokemon Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl, if you haven't gotten it and you have a Switch and you like Pokemon, I highly suggest getting it. It's a lot like the original, but there are new things to do, and like the underground where you can catch a bunch of different Pokemon.
Yeah.
And you can access it pretty early, so you have a lot to do. But we can move into Arcane. It's season finale.
Hang on. Before we move on, hold on.
What's that?
We're on the topic of the Pokemans.
Yeah,
and,
you got something?
Yeah.
I just gotta ask. What's your favorite Pokemon?
Oh, that's easy.
Go ahead then, Mr.
Mine's Ninetales.
That's right, I remember that. My favorite is Ralts, because it's Gardevoir, but I love the whole evolution line. You know, Ralts, can't remember the second evolution, and Gardevoir. I love them. That's like my favorite, one of my favorite Pokemons. And I also really like Frostmoth.
He needs to say Frostmoth here. If he doesn't, I'm going to call him a filthy liar.
Frostmoth is... fucking love Frostmoth.
I don't know a lot of the new Pokemon, so my favorite is one of the originals.
Right. Same. My favorite is one of the original 150, but I also
really like Gengar.
Gengar. Yeah,
Gengar's good.
My favorite Pokemon is actually Jolteon.
Nice.
Oh, I love the evolutions.
Yeah, I do as well, but I always really, really, really liked Jolteon.
Yeah, Jolteon was one of my favorites when I was little.
My favorite evolution is probably Glaceon. If you haven't noticed, I really like Ice-type Pokemon.
Yeah, I was just about to ask if you guys had, like, a favorite type.
Mine originally was Electric.
Yeah.
But as the game went on, I actually, like, started looking at, like, different types and playing different, like, you know, the different games going across, seeing what types were actually good and what were, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Have you done a Nuzlocke run, Russell?
No, I've never actually played any. I've caught the original 150 on my Pokemon Red, and that is the only, like, that is the only amount of time that I dedicated a shit ton of hours to get.
Yeah. Same.
Like, so... My favorite Pokemon are Jolteon, Dragonite, Absol, and Sceptile.
Ooh, Absol's really nice.
Yeah,
I really like...
I really like... was, like, really into Psychic type.
Yeah, I like Psychic, but probably...
Abra. I think Abra.
Yeah, I think...
Zam.
But I think the only real Psychic I really, like and is always on my team is Gardevoir. And then I always, sadly, I don't think Frostmoth is in Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl. But I am going to get a Floatzel, which is a water type. But I really like the water type and the ice type.
Yeah.
Okay, one more question. Which generation had the best starters?
first and second, I think.
Ooh.
Because those are really the only ones I know.
That's a hard one.
I will.
Because you can't go wrong with the originals.
I'm going to die on this fucking hill. Gen 3 had the best starters.
Who was that?
Torchic. Torchic, Mudkips, and Treecko.
Yeah,
there you
go. Those were good ones.
Yeah,
Torchic, I really liked
Mudkips and Treecko.
I really liked the one with Cyndaquil. Totodile.
Yeah, that's
Totodile.
Two. That's two.
And who's the third one?
Bayleaf.
Bayleaf.
Yeah. I really like two because I love Totodile.
I like Cyndaquil.
And I do love
for Cyndaquil, alligator. Which... For alligator, man.
You can
Typhlosion, dude.
If you don't dude, know, you monster. Can get all 14 starters in Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl, and the Underground.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you can get all of them. You can shiny hunt them all, or you can just breed them like I'm gonna do. So I'm definitely going to be catching a Totodile and a Cyndaquil to go on my team. And then I will have my Torterra because I was going to say four had my favorite grass starter because Turtwig into Torterra is just so awesome. Like Torterra is such an awesome, like Turtwig has one of the best evolution lines in my opinion.
That was me with Treecko.
Oh yeah. Treecko's pretty badass.
Bro, and Treecko into Sceptile, dude, that final evolution was so fucking sick.
It's like a grass ninja.
Yeah, I was going to say Greninja you'd probably like because...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I love Greninja.
Yeah, Greninja's really cool. Greninja's always a fan favorite.
I like... what's his freaking name? He's what's in one of the Pokemon movies. He looks like a ninja and he could, like, talk.
Raikou?
Like telepathically.
Raikou.
No, it wasn't Raikou. Raikou's one of the legendary dogs.
No, are you talking about you're not talking about freaking Lucario, are you?
Yeah, Lucario, yes.
There you go.
I have to say, like, it has to be Lucario.
Yeah, Lucario's dope.
It's Rylou into Lucario, so I was saying whatever the fuck I was saying, Roku.
You
or
said
whatever.
Raikou.
Raikou, yeah.
The legendary dog. I'm pretty sure that's the electric type dog.
Probably, because I was just reading about them. They're actually cats.
Are they cats?
Yeah, they're actually cats, and the creator of Pokemon actually said they are. But I remember in that movie, the Entei movie, calling them, they called them dogs.
Right.
Like, yeah, Raikou, I swear.
Raikou, Entei, and Suicune.
Raikou was still the best to me. Yeah. Suicune was the coolest in theory.
Okay, so someone asked online, is Suicune a dog? And the reply was, no, they're only part of the cat family. Entei is a lion, Raikou is a saber-toothed cat, and Suicune is a leopard.
Interesting.
Yeah, I never knew that.
Mm.
I couldn't deduce that from Suicune's appearance. I'm not going to lie to you.
Me either.
Suicune, like, legit looks like a wolf. Like some type of like wolf or like coyote or something.
What's his? The only one that really looks like that is Raikou. He does look like a saber tooth because he's got those two big teeth in the front.
Yeah, I was gonna say Entei definitely looks like a dog, and
he does.
Suicune, I guess I can kind of.
Suicune, I don't even know what the heck Suicune looks like. He just looks like a. Like a blue thing with stuff.
Yeah, that's fair.
But if you guys want to move on to Arcane now, I just want to know because I like the original Pokemon series. I like the originals.
For sure.
So I just want to know who's everyone's favorite was.
Yeah. Yeah, we can move on to Arcane. Kale, have you boys finished it?
Have you finished it?
Yeah. I absolutely finished it last night, and let me tell you, I am an Echo stan, bro.
I was
Echo is so fucking cool, bro.
I was just about to say my favorite scene in the whole entire show.
Episode seven.
Echo really is fighting Jinx on the bridge, and it does like that cool like. Kind of like comic book animation type style.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, when they switch from kids to adults.
Yeah,
shit was so music sick.
Behind it. I was like,
yeah, bro.
So did y'all cry? Like,
I
teared up. No. I won't lie. I teared up.
Okay. Okay. It hurt me at the very end of that scene when she pulled the grenade out after he literally, like, okay. Yeah. So the whole fight sequence happened and he's beating the piss out of her, man. Like, he's just pummeling her face. And I was just like, please, Echo, stop. Like,
also, if like, you stop. Haven't. If you're listening to this and you have not finished Arcane yet, you either want to stop listening now or
I guess we should
fast forward it.
Incoming spoilers.
Because these are some massive spoilers.
Yeah, we'll try to not say too much. But I mean, when you're talking about that, it's just
I wish League of Legends could make their game as great as
calm down. Riot is doing the best they can.
No, they're not.
I haven't played it. I haven't played it, actually.
Played what? League of Legends?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Ruined King game.
Oh, no, but so, I was going to play that, but it's $30, and I was like, no thanks.
So for a little backtracking, so that way, instead of we just throw spoilers at everybody, yeah. Arcane is a animated television series, a short or limited series, whatever you
want to
call it.
Do you want me to explain it since I know more, a little bit more?
I will hand it off to you. Let me have this little one.
All right.
It's okay, Caleb. I understand you are the resident League expert.
Okay. Go ahead.
So League of Legends or League of Legends, Arcane is an animated series about the backstory of some League of Legends characters. A game made by Riot Games, and as you start it, it tells the story of the characters Vi and Powder. Now, our resident League expert, Caleb, can explain a heck of a lot more about these two characters, but it engages you in how those two are related.
Yeah, so basically, the show takes place in what most people know as Piltover and Zaun, but during like throughout the show, it's not Zaun yet. It's just Piltover and the Undercity, basically.
Yeah.
And so it follows pretty much the sisterhood and like stuff of Vi and Powder, which is her name when she's a kid, but in the game and what most people know her as, if you haven't seen the show, is Jinx, because that's what her name is in the game. And so it basically just follows them and shows how Jinx became crazy and like psycho and all this other stuff, and like how Vi got her gauntlets. And then it also has a bunch of other characters like Echo. You don't really see too much Echo except for like in the beginning episodes and then at the end. So you don't really get much character development on him, but he is a badass in the show nonetheless. Then Jace.
Who could you tell me other characters who are in it as well? Like all of them?
I'm working on it, Russell. there's also Jace, who is a pretty popular champ in the game. He's
the hero of Piltover.
Yeah, basically the inventor, the counselor, all that good stuff. There's also Heimerdinger, who in the game I freaking hate.
They did him so wrong. They did Heimerdinger so wrong.
I teared up at that part too.
Bro, that was some of the most ho shit. That was
super most.
Fuck Jace. Fuck team. Fuck Jace. That's me. Team fuck Jace.
To be fair, well, at least he's sticking to the lore. He becomes pretty selfish.
He does.
Then there's also Victor, which shows how
that backstory is tragic.
Yeah, I did not.
How he becomes basically what he is.
A transhumanist.
And all I'm saying is, again, Just after this episode, whoever's listening, just know, fuck Jace.
Yeah, just then Well, there's tons of other characters. I don't want to give too much away if people haven't watched it yet.
True. If they are real League of Legends fans, they'll be able to recognize
Yeah. There's some surprise characters in there that you don't really... In the early episodes, you're like, oh, that's who that is? Mm-hmm. And there's some also some, a lot of speculation about, oh, maybe that's this character, or maybe this is going to turn into that character, or other stuff like that.
But which I have very really strong opinions about.
Oh, do you?
I think so many people are wrong.
One thing I was really surprised about in the show was since we didn't know a lot about Mel's backstory when her mom showed up.
Right.
I was like, what? I was like sitting there. I was like, wait, is her mom from Noxus? I was like, that's pretty dope.
Okay, so I have a question. If Noxus and Demacia went to war, which side are you on?
I don't know.
As much as I hate how Demacia treats everyone, I still think I would go with Demacia. I like the characters better, TBH. I like Galio a lot.
The way her mom, or the way her mom pulled up and already had a valet.
Her mom is a badass,
bro. She pulled up. That's for me, darling. Okay.
But there's also a lot of speculation about when her mom showed up and started talking about her brother and what was happening in Noxus and stuff, and
having to weaponize.
I didn't even think about that, Caleb.
Yeah.
You just
like
you're talking about. Swain?
Yes, I am talking about Swain.
Okay. When you said that.
Yeah, people are talking about like when her mom was talking about her brother was gone and stuff and that she had to send him away, and people are like, oh, Swain probably killed him and found him.
I didn't even think
Swain
about
kills
it.
He like kills all the noble families in Noxus.
Yeah, after he gets his demon.
Yeah.
Did you guys also notice who Victor's friend was without saying the character's name?
Oh, yes. Everybody knows it's Singed.
Okay, I was making sure that I didn't know if it
It's Singed. In the early episodes, before like anybody actually knows, if you have the captions on where it shows like the names of the people.
It says his name.
It says his name.
Yeah, that threw me off because... go ahead, Gavin.
I was just going to say, You can kind of tell it's Singed when he's experimenting on like that creature that he has. I kind of figured. I was like, it's probably Singed. Dr. Singed.
That is what gave it away for me, because I don't know too much about all of the League character champions, because good lord, the list is so long.
100 and
if you want to learn more about League and the lore, a good person to watch on YouTube is a guy named Necrit. He has like videos about every single champion, about all the lore, everything you want to know.
Right. I like really appreciated Singed, his introduction. I actually like when I realized that's who Victor was talking to before the future time, before like the present day, if you will.
When the flashback when he was a kid?
Yes. Yeah. That was, I had no idea. And then when it went to the present time where Victor was doing his thing again, without too many spoilers, when they interacted, I was just like, wait, that was him? Like,
yeah.
So that was really cool. I appreciate the difference in I guess I would say dynamic from the childhood era of each character to where they are currently.
Yeah, the show is very well written.
Oh, absolutely.
And the villain Silco, I think, was really
my favorite. Yeah. Like he was probably my favorite character.
And how similar but subtle differences him and Vander have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Crazy.
They're both very protective.
Like they both want to save the Undercity, but in different ways. Yeah. And how Vander had everything he wanted. Like independence and all this other stuff that Jace offered him, but he was willing to give it all up for Jinx. And it worked for her. Was pretty cool.
Yeah, and Vander kind of the same. He could have turned in the kids, but he decided not to. So he decided, you know, take me instead, but like I'm not gonna let you take the kids.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, dude, Vander's like the dad we all needed. You know what I mean? Like that kind of character.
Yeah, he was a really good character.
Like the episode where he like him and Grayson were talking. It was episode 3.
Yeah.
Like that whole interaction, bro. Whew, that sold me on the show right there.
Yeah.
Like just the seriousness that was happening in their little subtle conversation. Grayson was just like, I'm going to continue letting you do what you do, but we have to put a face to the crime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was just like, okay, well, I'll find someone. And she's like, come on, dude. I know you're like, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, I'll find someone. Of course, everybody watching the show is like, it's gotta be him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, are you guys Vi and Caitlin stands?
Vi.
Like, no, like,
no. Together. No.
Maybe not the partnership. Like I'm more of a couple. Okay. In that aspect, nah, I'd ship it.
Yeah, me too.
I can see it, but I think Caitlin needs to be with Jace so she can bring Jace back down to Earth.
Yeah.
But I can see Vi and Caitlin. I get why it's a ship, but personally, I think Caitlin and Jace. I mean, Counselor of Piltover, Sheriff of Piltover.
it might not be Counselor for much longer.
Dude,
I can't believe they ended it there.
Dude, that I ended. Can. I was like, no, I can't wait another year to see what happens.
Nah, dude, you have to end on the like craziest cliffhanger possible. Like, bro,
yeah.
And y'all remember how much shit was going down in that literal like 10 minutes as the episode was ending? Like,
yeah, it was crazy.
Like, Dude, so much shit is happening.
And I feel like that ending is going to send Jace over. Because he was kind of, you were like, okay, Jace, I'm kind of getting back to being on your side here. And then you see this shit happening and you're like, okay, now if Jace, you know, if after this he goes back to his selfish asshole, which I'm pretty sure he will, it's like, now I can't be on your side anymore. But like during it, like, you're like, okay, wait, is this Jace kind of letting go of his selfishness? And then now we gotta wait a year to see what happens.
Well, it's they announced Riot today that season 2 is in production already.
Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God.
Yeah, they put out a video and stuff.
I don't like hardly play. I would never pick the game up because I know how cancer it is.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, dude, if I'm going to pick the game up, I'm going to be a Lee Sin Echo player.
Lee Sin?
I love Lee Sin, the blind one, baby.
Oh, he's kind of tough to play, but he's fun.
No, you know, he's an extremely hard champion to play, but he's a blind monk.
High skill
card. I mean, that's like your whole MO, man, monk.
For real, I was about to say.
Thank you.
Kaizen now is really bringing in Lee Sin vibes.
I'm saying, bro, like, I want to walk up to somebody and just, like, W, you know what I'm saying? Just kick, like, what? Yeah. Like.
Why
we're on the topic of League of Legends, though, something cool did happen last night in real life at a basketball game, nonetheless. So yesterday, Riot Games announced the locations of the 2022 League of Legends World Championships, like the cities in North America, because it's going to be in North America next year.
Yep.
The cities that it's going to be in. And they did it at Golden State Warriors game after the first quarter.
Oh, shit. Hell yeah.
That's baller.
That's badass.
Also, though, if you don't know, the Golden State Warriors ownership owns the League of Legends team Golden Guardians. So,
hey, yo.
That's so cool. That makes it even cooler.
Wait. Do they own all the Golden Guardians? Like, even the Smash players?
Probably.
Bro, let's go.
I know they own, like, the Golden Guardians. They're, like, owners and, like, investors in the organization.
That's fucking sick. That's cool. The Golden Guardians have none, a Captain Falcon melee player, and PPMD, who is an ex. They just put the PG the top 100 melee players of all time out, by the way. And PPMD number 7, one of my favorites. He's a content creator for GG.
PP, that's his name. PP.
No, Dr. PP. Yes.
Dr. PP. But, oh my god.
Yeah. So after the first quarter, they did like a on the big screen, like in the middle of the thing, they did like this video, big video, announcing all the cities. Which is it's Toronto. It's Toronto, New York City, you San Francisco.
You better say Dallas.
And Mexico City.
God dang it!
Yeah, but after that, after like the video and everything, something really cool that they did was they parachuted from the roof of like inside. They parachuted down into the crowd. League of Legends gift packs into the audience.
That's so cool.
I was gonna ask, how did basketball the game, fans?
Hang on.
Then before the game, in celebration of Worlds coming to, because it's gonna be at the Golden State Warriors stadium or whatever, like in San Francisco, that's where one of the events is gonna be held. So the global head of Esports and Riot Games, Naz Aletha, I can't pronounce her name, it's weird, Licorice and Huhi, who are two pro players, got to ring the opening bell for the Warriors game.
Oh, that's dope.
That's awesome.
And then, like, in the center of the court, they had, like, they, like, combined, like, the Golden Guardians and, like, Golden State Warriors logo.
That's sick.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
So how did basketball fans react to this? Like, was there any like, oh, this is stupid, esports isn't really a sport kind of thing?
I don't know. All I know is like I saw a video of it that Travis Gaffer posted on his Twitter.
Okay. All right.
But I thought that was pretty cool.
No, that's pretty interesting, dude.
Yeah. So what about as we can move, if you guys are okay moving into the next topic.
Sure.
What about the Warner Brothers Smash game? I think it's called Multiverse, right?
Multiverses.
Yeah.
All I know is that they put Shaggy in the game. That's all.
And he's Meme Shaggy. He is Meme Shaggy, and he goes Super Saiyan.
And he's voiced by none other than Matthew Lillard.
Daddy himself.
I would have been pissed if it was anyone else. Like, he is Shaggy. Like, there's... I hate.
See, you're focusing like, on Shaggy. No, there's a bigger, a much bigger voice that is in that game. And for anybody who is listening, who is a cartoon fan and remembers the original Batman cartoons, if you're a 90s kid, if you're a 90s kid and you grew up watching Batman, you'd recognize this man's voice anywhere. None other than Kevin fucking Conroy.
Yep.
Batman himself.
Nice.
I saw that as well.
Oh, that was perfect, man.
Russell, do you know the topic
of voice actors real quick, just to track back for just 1 second. Have you ever watched Lucifer, Russell?
I've never watched Lucifer, actually.
Okay, so in Arcane, the voice actor of Jace plays Dan in the show Lucifer.
Oh, very cool. That's an interesting little crossover.
I didn't know that. I thought that was pretty cool.
Another cool little thing, my favorite voice actor, Matthew Mercer, voices a couple of different League of Legends characters. One of them is Wolf for Kindred, and he's also the voice of McCree in Overwatch.
You can't say that name anymore.
Yeah, they changed his name in Overwatch.
What? Really?
Yeah, his name's Cassidy now.
Oh, okay, well,
there was some like big controversy about his name. I don't remember what it was, but they had to change.
I can touch on that, but we'll come back. We'll circle back to the very end.
Yeah. Anyway, back to WB Smash Clone. Yeah.
So you wanted to know the roster? You want to know the roster? Okay, so the roster features a bunch of characters that, well, for right now,
are the Animaniacs in it?
They are not yet. Not yet. There's not There is not a full roster up as we know, but so far, most of these characters are extremely recognizable. If I was to say, nah, what up, Doc?
Yeah, Bugs Bunny.
Okay. The lovable Cartoon Network duo, Finn and Jake.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Gandalf, isn't it?
He's not on the announced roster yet.
It was...
There was an image. Yes, there was an image that did. Yes, and it was leaked by Hungrybox. Yes. Yeah. There's a whole That'd thing about cool that. There's a whole thing about that. Yeah. Hungrybox, for those who don't know, Hungrybox is a very famous Melee Jigglypuff player. Again, top 100 came out. He's number 3 of all time. He ended up doing a lot of digging to find this, posted a series of tweets into a reaction-based video that was ceased and desist by Warner Brothers themselves.
Oh, really?
To which he tweeted, "That's how you find out this is a real thing."
Yeah.
So, the image contained Gandalf, but the announced roster does not contain Gandalf yet. So,
yeah, so we got Batman, Bugs Bunny, Shaggy,
Finn and Jake,
and Finn and Jake.
Harley Quinn.
So far,
we have for any lovers of Steven Universe, we have Steven Universe himself and Garnet. We have Rain Dog. Does anybody know where Rain Dog is from?
I don't know that name at all.
Not at all.
Is that the original character they made? Or
that is the very first original character of WB Multiverses.
Right. Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
Yep, Rain Dog.
I know a lot of people are like, "Who? What is this character?" And it's original.
So, and then again, to finish to round off the cast here for any lovers of DC, if you have Batman. You gotta have Superman.
Oh, yeah.
And if you got Superman, you gotta have his love interest, Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Even though we all know it's Lois Lane. Come on now. We can't.
Come on, yeah.
But.
Depending on the version of Superman.
Bingo. And last but not least, there are two characters that we haven't talked about yet. One of which is from a very, very well-known hit television series, Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
Jon Snow.
If it was Jon Snow, I'd probably be a Jon Snow main, but it's not Jon Snow.
Oh, it's not?
No. It's a Stark.
Yeah.
Is it Arya?
Yep.
Huh?
Is it Arya?
It is Arya.
Nice.
And the last character that we haven't talked about on the announced roster... The most lovable, wacky animal duo you can think of from a kid. They're always fighting. One always wins. It's Tom and Jerry.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So right now, looking at that cast, that's pretty a pretty cool cast.
It's pretty cool. I have a question. Okay, so I know in the game, from what they showed, if you have a... I guess if you do like a duo fight, your abilities can kind of interact with each other, right?
The point of the game that they want to try to focus on is they want to focus on the aspect of 2v2. They kind of want to like keep this at a team style fight.
Nice.
Go ahead.
Smash doesn't have anything like that, do they? Where like if you do a 2v2, like your abilities do the abilities like interact with you? Like, can say like Falcon shoot a laser bolt and you know another character do something with it?
No, so in Smash Bros, you have team attack on and team attack off. If you do competitive doubles, you have team attack on. Now, this sets up a bunch of different team plays where, because it's friendly fire. So right. you have characters like, on the topic of super, you said Falco shooting a laser. The character Villager has the ability to pocket things. They throw their hand out, this big flashy swirl pops up, and they grab it and they put it away. In that case, Falco's laser can get pocketed by the teammate that is Villager, and then Villager can press B again and throw the laser out.
Okay.
Now that doesn't innately mean that anything gets better or worse. It's just you're playing as a team, so now your teammate can use what's yours.
Yeah. Right, because the point I was getting to is, you know, Smash has kind of been the big, like, kind of fighting game, like, animated kind of, like, fighting game, you know, throwing out, like, Mortal Kombat, Injustice, and stuff like that. So do you think this could become a Smash killer? Do you think this could be, because, you know, we had all Brawl Stars, but that kind of died off pretty quickly. But do you think this might actually be the game that might overtake, like everyone might switch from and go to war to this multiverses? Or do you think Smash is just always going to be on top? Like they're just too big to kill.
Super Smash Bros. Melee for the Nintendo GameCube came out yesterday, 20 years ago, 11/21/2001. That mm-hmm. game is still played today on a CRT television and garners hundreds of thousands of viewers, tens of thousands of attendees to tournaments. I mean, the number is vast.
Right.
We a lot of the Smash Bros. Community, with the hype of Nickelodeon All-Stars Brawl, thought that was going to be the Smash killer.
Yeah.
And it's yeah. not. I don't think that anybody can make a game that will outshine Sakurai's creation.
On that note, something you might be interested in, Russell. Riot Games.
Project
is,
L, I was already going to... Yeah, gonna is... Bring it up. I was going to bring it up.
Making a fighting game.
They're making a Marvel-esque fighting game. It is It is a side-scrolling fighting game. It's not a platform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, on the note of platform fighters, Warner Brothers is free to play. It's cross-platform. It is cross-platform. Like, I'm not gonna say like enthused, but like it's pushing to be played with everyone, by everyone, on anything. The creators are giving it out for free. It has an amazing rollback and netcode that is already being developed for it. There's tons of servers that are coming out for it. There's already so much more support for this game right now, before it's even being made, than I think there was for Nickelodeon All-Stars Brawl, because Nickelodeon All-Stars Brawl was a game made by Ludosity. Ludosity made Slap City, for anybody who's ever heard of Slap City.
Nope.
Yeah. And also... Multiverses, the Warner Brothers game, is also fully voiced characters, which Nickelodeon Brawl Stars does not have, which was a pretty big disappointment.
Right. It has most of its original voiced characters.
But
and so, go ahead.
The reason I asked is if you think it could be a Smash killer is because of the kind of like ability interaction that you can have with your teammate that... I was like, you know, I don't think Smash really has, like, where, you know, you could play, you know, Harley Quinn and Batman or Superman and Tom and Jerry, and your abilities can interact with each other to, you know, help each other out. And so I was like, well, maybe, you know, would people want that more since Smash, like, it's something that we haven't really seen a fighting game have, or at least not one that I know of, where, like... So- You know, 2v2, it kind of goes.
Right. So in the case of that, it's more so... That aspect is more so in my mind, in relation to Marvel versus Capcom, having like a three-person fighting team, or maybe even Dragon Ball Fighters. You would think that with the use of a team, you would want to be able to use each other's abilities. Like you said, like in this game, you'd want to be able to like play off of the ability of another player. Right. I think you may be looking a little too deep in it right now, just based off of what they've showed us, because we don't have a fully fleshed out game. I recently learned this term. This is technically just a vertical slice. This isn't the actual game. We don't see any of the game. We just got a polished project presentation.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not done. It's not even fully fleshed out. They still probably need to update so much stuff. But what is cool and wacky and fun about this is that, yeah, you can play like, let's say, Shaggy and Jake, and then Jake basically just becomes Scooby-Doo for Shaggy. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Like that kind of thing. That would be cool. But like, I don't think it will outshine something like Smash, because something like Smash is so deep rooted in community, whether it be, you know, a good memory, a bad memory, whatever. Both of you can remember sitting down to play some version of Super Smash Brothers.
That's true. That's fair.
It is literally in your childhood memories, because that game has been around for so long.
Yeah, I mean, I still remember trying to unlock like the characters like Mewtwo, like on the what was it, Melee?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember still like trying to unlock all the characters and looking up how to get them and everything. So
right,
that's fair.
So it's super fun, man. It's I think my biggest hope for this is that it doesn't come out really strong like Nickelodeon All-Stars Brawl and then
die.
Come out at the, well, no, I'm not going to say die, but essentially come out at possibly the wrong time.
That's yeah, okay. So before we run out of time, the last thing we wanted to talk about was Halo Infinite, which, as we talked about in the last
event.
Yeah, and in the last episode, we talked about how they kind of, you know, dropped it early. I believe we brought it up in the episode. They kind of dropped the beta or whatever, or the game kind of early on everybody with no warning. I've played it some. I love it. It feels more like Halo 3 than it does, you know, than Halo 5 did. Halo 5, you know, the multiplayer was okay. It was pretty good. But this really feels like Halo 3. Like, it really feels like when you would jump in a lobby and then everyone's, you know, shit-talking everyone, and you just got home from school and you're about to just get on and just play for hours. Like, I really, really like it.
Nice.
And then you said the event.
So they just had their... sorry, excuse me. So they just had their first HCS event this past weekend, which Team Optic Halo beats C9 in a crazy, crazy, crazy match. It's like come from behind 5-game match. So Optic Halo is the first event winners in Halo.
That's awesome.
I mean, that's just a shout out to back in the day. You feel me?
Yeah.
Team Optic winning a first person shooter game? Come on.
Yeah.
Right.
We've never seen that before.
Right. Well, it's Optic Envy now. But so other than that, I don't really know too much about Halo Infinite because I haven't played it yet. So
yeah, I was gonna say Russell.
I think Halo Infinite.
Oh, you played it some.
I think Halo Infinite, this one is a lot more closely related to Halo 3. It feels like I'm playing Halo 3. But with all the additive extras of things like, you know, the
grapple.
Repulsor, the grapple, the thruster, the The shield, the that. Yeah, your extra abilities are not on your armor like they were in Reach. They are pick. They're like consumables on the map.
Yeah, yeah. You can pick them up.
So and I think that is a super. I think the consumables being on the map plays a huge part in the competitive aspect, and I think that's going to make watching this game as a viewer, as like a viewer esport later down the road, is going to be huge, because we're all going to be like, oh my god, you see him pick up that thruster? Oh my god, look what he's about to do with it. Oh my god, he just captured the flag. Look at that, and he's thrusting. Or, oh my gosh, he has the flag and he's grappling. Like, I mean, I'm not saying you could do that, but like, it's gonna add a lot more flash to the game.
And also, now that there are certain weapon timers and it gets announced, so now, like, teams are going to have to, like, you know, rotate to those, you know. Caleb, sniper's dropping in 2 minutes, so now the team is, we're going to see the team kind of rotate there and get it on someone, you know, whoever the best sniper on the team. Okay, well, now we need to rotate there, get them that weapon so we can, you know, put them up in, like, a defensive position. Or somewhere where they can, you know, put the sniper to use.
So, do you remember playing Halo 3, Caleb? Do you remember, like, Guardian and all that?
Of course I do.
Okay, so you remember how the sniper tower was up top, and then the hammer was down underneath, and then the shotgun was underneath the sniper and all that stuff?
Yeah.
So these, what he's saying is these weapons, they pop up as holograms. And you know where they are. They're on the same spot on the map every time, just like a weapon spot. Except they all have timers. And something that I noticed was playing things like Oddball. Mm-hmm. Teams would literally take the Oddball and then go sit near weapon spawns, with specific weapon spawns, and they would camp it out for a little bit, snag the weapon, and then now they have a power weapon on their side. The only thing that I saw, or that I have noticed, that is in a very neutral style position is like, it's like the M48 Spanker. It's the rocket launcher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The rocket launcher is like in the dead middle of one of the maps. It's in a very neutral position instead of just being on one side or the other. So I think if that's the way it is on certain maps, I think that's very, very cool and a very interesting change to the whole entire scope of the game.
Nice. Oh, yeah. I'll have to check it out.
I think Infinite's going to be a lot more competitive than any Halo we've seen in the recent years.
Oh, I don't know. Recent years maybe, but I don't know about Halo 2 or 3.
No. I'm talking about like 5 and I maybe Reach. I don't think Reach was very like had a competitive scene. I think it was more like the story was just so fucking good. Like
Reach's story was amazing.
It was so good. It was such a good game. But yeah, I think I'm really liking Infinite. I need to play it some more.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen our friend Brian.
Yeah.
But dude is just posting all the time online about how much he loves Halo Infinite. So.
And he is climbing in ranked. He is doing nothing but ranked, I'm pretty sure. Because he's platinum right now.
No, he's diamond. He's already diamond.
He hit diamond? Nice. Awesome. Yeah. Hell yeah, he hit diamond. Last post I saw, he was still in platinum and he was shooting for diamond.
Yeah, no, he's definitely diamond one.
That's awesome. So yeah, how do the ranks work? Is it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then 1, 2, 3, or is it?
It's 6. I know one rank has a 6.
So, do you know if it goes like? 1 is the lowest rank, or is?
I believe yeah. 1 is the lowest, and then 6. Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Cool. Cool. That's awesome. Yeah, I really enjoy the game. So, do you have any,
yeah. And this is one esport NA is actually really good at, and and probably win the whole.
It's one esport. You obviously have not watched Rocket League.
Well, I'm talking about sports I know of. But anyway, so we got Team Envy, Sentinels, and Cloud9. So if you're into Valorant, it starts on Wednesday, December 1st. It's like the last Valorant tournament of the year, the big Valorant tournament. Yeah, so go out and cheer our boys on.
Man, you're happy about that. I'm happy about the Rocket League major coming up. I don't know when it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen really, really soon, but it is a LAN event in Stockholm, Sweden.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, okay.
And the...
Yeah, this is a LAN event as well in Berlin.
Fuck, that's sick. I'm so happy LAN is back, bro.
Yeah, me
I'm
too.
I'm so happy LAN is back. And I cannot wait for everybody who's going to be in this time, because the 16 teams that made it, man, I literally could not have told you. I mean, I could have told you NA for sure. Like, I could have predicted NA, but I did not predict EU rankings. I was unprepared for anything Oceania or APAC. I don't know crap about the Middle East or even Australia
yeah.
right now. But like looking at all these teams right here, man, I can't predict who's gonna be the top four. But like the fan favorite and like the community favorite is gonna be the general NRG. They have the team, you know what I mean? Like the dream team, if you will.
Yeah, that's kind of the same in the Valorant tournament for NA. The dream team and Sentinels probably has the best player in the world right now in tens.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So
they're before big favorites.
Before we wrap up, I do want to say, if you're an Elder Scrolls fan, the new Elder Scrolls is going to be, Elder Scrolls 6 is going to be a Xbox exclusive. So it's, which it'll probably be Xbox and PC, but it is going to be an Xbox exclusive, so it won't be on PlayStation since Microsoft bought out Bethesda. So
yeah, it's keeping an eye out for that. Also, I'm excited. Shout out C9 Mango.
Number one Smash player of all time. Best melee, the main god, baby. Oh, dude. I was waiting for 1 through 10 to come out. And when it dropped, I am the biggest Mango fan.
I know. I've heard you talk about him multiple times.
I love him so much. But I genuinely, wholeheartedly was surprised to see him at number one over the Swedish sniper himself, Armada. I could not have like guessed that he would have been number one over Armada.
If you want, I don't know if you have the list up. If you want to go over like the top 10, just like name them off.
Oh, the top. I mean, we really, the top 10 is an interesting thing, because it, like, you gotta think of like the history of the game and who's who. But numbers 10 to 1 respectively is sitting at number 10 is Plup. He is a very, very, very well known Sheik player, been around for eons in the Smash League. He's been around forever. He is well known for his really, really, really good technical play. He's a very smart player. He's always in the top 8. Like, if you watch a melee event and Plup is there, guaranteed he's top 8. Probably even top 4. Zane at number 9 is the newest addition to Smash. He is a recent best player in the world. He literally is probably the most...
I saw a meme about him earlier today.
Which was?
From Golden Guardians. It was like, every squad got the quiet, smart guy, charismatic dude, hilarious joker, and then Zane.
Yes. Yes. That, yeah. Yeah. He's a very, very, very smart player. And in if you are a Fox melee player, he is your worst nightmare. He is quite literally known as the Fox Slayer.
Damn.
So, yeah. He's in recent years, in the past, like, I want to say 3 years, he has literally rose to the best player in the world.
Yeah.
So he's sitting at number 9. I think it's more of a recency bias thing. Regardless, he definitely deserves to be top 20. Without question.
All right.
Number 8 is Azen. Azen is the original rival to number 5 or number 4, Ken. Azen and Ken started Super Smash Bros. Melee competitive. Like, they are the original number 1 and number 2 best players in the world. Like, without question. Azen was a Marth, and so is Ken. Anyways, number 7, I already mentioned his name. My boy, Dr. Peepee, Golden Guardians member. Dr. PPMD is a super well-known technical player who is just a guy who could literally break apart his opponent and their entire flowchart. He knew exactly how to beat you literally the moment you started playing. It's like he could see into the future.
Dang.
Number 6 is Leffen. Leffen. Leffen grew up in the Smash scene with number two, Armada. They are both Swedish. They both came. Leffen was Armada's training partner, who came over and immediately adopted the nickname the God Slayer, which he gave himself. The reason he gave himself that nickname is because he quite literally had to make a name for himself by beating all of the quote-unquote gods of Melee at the time. He took a set off of every famous Melee player you could possibly think of if you search it up. He's beaten all of them. Number five, the robot himself, Mr. Mewtwo King. Mewtwo King is the first Melee player to break the game down to its bare bones. Mewtwo King quite literally learned the hitbox and damage of every single character in the game.
Jesus Christ.
He's autistic. What do you expect? I say that respectfully.
That's insane.
Mewtwo King studied the game literally frame by frame. He's a robot. The guy
props.
He is insanely good. Definitely earns himself a top 5 spot without fail, you know. And number 4, as I mentioned earlier, the rival to Azen is Ken. Ken is known as the King of Smash. He won a tournament called the King of Smash, giving himself that nickname. But quite literally, this man was the original best player in the world. If you know anything about Smash, and you know anything about people who've won a lot of tournaments, you've probably heard the name Zero.
Yeah, I know him.
Caleb, have you heard that name before?
Nope.
Zero is a Guinness World Book record holder for winning 68 tournament majors in a row.
Jesus. Oh, damn.
Ken was the Melee version of Zero. Nobody could beat him. He literally was just the best Smash player in the entire world. Hungrybox, a.k.a. Clutchbox, a.k.a. Hbox, is the... I don't want to be this guy, but the Melee community paints Hbox as a villain. He is the villain of Smash Bros.
That's the Jigglypuff player?
That is the Jigglypuff player.
I can see why.
Well, you say that. Hungrybox is known for playing Jigglypuff and doing it in such a way that it would be seen as very, very annoying. But when you have a character whose toolkit can do all of these things, why would you play any other way? You're playing to win, aren't you?
That's fair. That's fair.
So,
I hate fighting Jigglypuffs and Kirbys.
I don't blame you. Hungry Box overcame a lot. And when there is a very important moment, and it was Evo 2016, and it was the first time since he had been playing Super Smash Brothers that he literally finally won first place at the big event. Like, at the big Smash event. It's Evo, you know? And he's known for being very emotional and very vibrant with his victories. And Evo 16 was a huge deal for him because he actually became the best player in the world after that. Number two, Armada, the Swedish sniper. The first foreign Smash player to come over to NA who was running the world at Super Smash Brothers Melee and bring onto a scene a character that nobody really knew much about. Armada's main character is Peach. And the NA scene was basically Sheik, Marth, Fox, Falco. That was who we played. Like, that, we didn't play any other four characters. They were the top of the meta, what have you. That was just it. When Armada came over here, he brought Peach, and he showed the world how devastating when you don't know a matchup can be. Because this man, for several years, ran the NA in tournaments. Like, Mewtwo King used to be the best. When Armada came along, Armada and Mewtwo King played teams all the time. Literally unbeatable. Literally couldn't stop him.
Damn.
And then last but not least, the man, America's favorite boy, Mango. This man plays Smash Bros. Like an absolute ape. He has literally no game plan whatsoever, I promise you. This man will do what's known as face rolling the controller, which is just pressing buttons like crazy, and will make something really sick happen, and you'll just be popping off for no reason because Mango's that fucking hype. This guy, if you watch what's known as the Melee Minery, the documentary about Super Smash Bros. Melee and the original gods, quote unquote, Mango has his own video. And it is titled The Natural. Mango was a kid who was going to be a pro skateboarder, but he broke his wrist. And when he broke his wrist, he was hanging out at his buddy's house a lot, and they were playing Super Smash Brothers Melee, and he was like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, we're playing this game. And he's like, well, I want to play that game. And then later, little did you know, that kid would become the greatest Melee player of all time.
That's an insane backstory.
Literally, the documentary is amazing. You should actually go watch it. It'll teach you a lot about Melee.
I would definitely have to check that out.
The scene is so deep. I mean, it's been around for 20 years. You have to imagine. Right. There's so many stories. But those 10 people, I can definitely fairly say, deserve every single one of their spots.
All
like the history, the lore, the community, every bit of it. Like, if you scroll this list, you will only start seeing second places after number 9. Numbers 8 through 1, all of their top victories are all first place victories.
Yeah.
So, understand, the game is amazing, and the history is even better.
Agreed. I love it. But before we talk too much.
Before I go on a freaking
monologue. Yeah, we all know you could probably talk about Smash forever. Yes. Caleb, if you want to wrap it up for us.
Okay.
You on the spot too much? I can
wrap up. No, but anyways, guys, that concludes episode 2 of our podcast. Thank you guys for listening. I want to thank everybody on Facebook for liking our page. We're up to, I think Russell said, 162 likes now.
Are we? Last I checked, it was like 130.
I could have swore Russell said 162. No,
we have like 160 something, like, dude.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
So that's awesome. I appreciate all the support.
Leave us a review on iTunes.
Yes, leave us a review on iTunes, 5 stars.
It you guys don't understand how much it would help if you do.
Yes.
Because if we get enough, I'm hoping we can get the podcast on the new and upcoming. We have 8 weeks to do it. So thank you for listening. And
we are also on Spotify.
Yeah.
And
we're on Spotify right now.
Give us a follow on there.
Yeah, we're on a Spotify, Podcast Addict, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, I believe. We should be on there now. It took a little bit. And we're on Beaker. And
so basically all your podcast needs.
Yeah, we're on a bunch.
Yeah, so thank you guys for tuning in. All our episodes will be out on Wednesdays. And we'll see you next time for Select Start.